as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, the breakfast cereals shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
And remember that if you want a super breakfast tomorrow morning, pour out a heaping bowl full of delicious, crisp, nourishing Quaker puffed rice or Quaker puffed wheat. Cover it with milk or thick, rich yellow cream. Top it with sliced bananas or chilled fruit. Take a big spoonful. And, there's a super treat that can't be beat. So get ready. Get super delicious, nourishing Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice for breakfast tomorrow. At the end of a long trail, Sergeant Preston came to grips with the notorious outlaw, Spike Wilson. There was a hand-to-hand fight, a bitter struggle which the Mountie finally won. He arrested his man and said,
"This case is closed."
When Wilson went on trial, Sergeant Preston was in court. Hot hatred flushed the prisoner's face when he saw the man who had beaten him to the ground.
"I'll get you, Preston! I'll kill you!"
"Order! Order in this court!"
"And I'll get that girl who testified against me! No jail can hold Spike, Wilson! Do you hear that? I'll get out and I'll get square!"
Order!
Wilson was carried bodily from the courtroom and sent to prison to begin a term that would last for the rest of his life. It was several weeks later when Sergeant Preston and his great dog, Yukon King, came into Dawson at the end of a routine patrol.
"Oh, Sergeant Preston.
How do you do, Inspector Conrad?"
"Sit down next to my desk, Sergeant. I have some news for you. Grim news."
"Yes, sir."
"Spike Wilson has escaped from prison." "Well, have you no comment?"
"My fault."
"Your fault? How is it your fault, Sergeant?"
"I should have had more evidence, sir. Evidence so there could have been no doubt about the fact that Wilson committed murder. He would have been hanged by this time."
"He'll hang the next time. A guard was killed during the escape."
"When did he escape, sir?"
"Day before yesterday."
"If I hurry, I may reach Kingston ahead of him."
"Kingston? That's 2 days from here."
"Yes, sir, and 4 days from the prison."
"Why do you mention Kingston, Sergeant?"
"There's a girl in Kingston, sir. A singer who works in the cafe. Her name is Lola."
"Lola? Yes, I remember. She was a witness at Wilson's trial. Her testimony was very important."
"More than that, sir. She gave me information that led to Wilson's capture. She told me where I might find him, and Wilson knows it. That girl's life is in danger."
"I hadn't thought of her. I've been thinking of the threat Wilson made against you."
"Many crooks have threatened me, sir."
"Yes, and many have boasted that no jail could hold them. In most cases, such threats and boasts are meaningless. Wilson, however, made good his threat to escape."
"I'd like to start for Kingston as soon as possible, Inspector."
"Well, I'll give you a quick rundown of the facts at hand, Sergeant. 3 men whose faces were covered attacked the guards. 1 guard was killed, 2 were wounded. During the fight, one of the attackers lost the handkerchief that concealed his face. He was recognized by one of the wounded guards. His face is on handbills, Sergeant. He's been wanted for a long time.
His name, sir?
Carlson. Jay Carlson, alias...
Babyface.
Yes. Babyface Carlson.
King and I nearly had him last summer.
That's when you were caught in a landslide.
Carlson escaped because of that landslide. I thought he'd left the territory.
Obviously, he's still around. He and Wilson, as well as the other two, must be brought in. That is your assignment.
Yes, sir.
We know that Carlson and Wilson are deadly. Their partners are probably just as dangerous. I hate to send you on this mission alone.
King will be with me, sir.
Yes, but I wish we could spare a couple of men. We have so few men to cover so much territory. Well, I can only say good luck, Sergeant, and may the good Lord help you.
Sergeant Preston left for Kingston with his dogs and sled as soon as possible. The second night found him camped on the trail about one day's travel west of town. And at the same time, north of town, Spike Wilson and his pals were camping in a cave.
We've covered a lot of ground since the jailbreak. You know, it was a good idea, Wilson, to travel on the river. The wind kept the ice clear as snow.
It was the only way to travel without leaving tracks.
But the lawmen are sure to figure we took to the river. They'd be looking for us.
Lefty, you and Moose don't know this country. There's hundreds of branching streams all along the river. For all the lawmen know, we might have turned off any of them.
How long are you aiming to stay with the river, Wilson?
Right at this point, the river turns. We'll have to leave it if we're to go to Kingston.
You're going there on account of that girl.
Lola double-crossed me. She put Preston on my trail and then testified against me at the trial. For that, she's got to die.
Wilson, maybe Moose and I are tenderfeet in this Yukon.
Yeah, you sure are.
Even so, I bet the lawmen here figure things out the same as in the States.
What of it?
They all knew you blew your top at the trial. They know you plan to kill the girl who double-crossed you. They'll be waiting in Kingston for you to show up.
I've been thinking the same thing. Hey, Carlson, you asleep?
How can any man sleep while you three make so much chin music?
I want to talk to you. Come over here, baby face.
Listen, Wilson, I don't like it when you call me that, see? I don't like it.
All right, sit down. You still carry that outfit of woman's clothes in your pack?
Yeah, sure thing. Without outfit, I go where I want and when I want. I can walk through any town and no one suspects me of being the man whose face is on handbill, see?
Then you start early in the morning and go to Kingston. You'll be there by late afternoon.
I go alone?
Yeah.
Wearing woman's clothes?
You needn't put them on till you're near the town. Now you go to the cafe. Pick some kind of a story to get you inside Lola's room. That's upstairs over the cafe.
Aye, Savvy. I'm to do your murder for you, that it?
That's it.
What's in it for me?
What's in it for you? Why, you pint-sized little squirt. If I hadn't have kept my mouth shut, you'd be dangling on a hangman's rope. I might have won clemency by telling the law where to find you, but I kept quiet. And for that, you owe me plenty.
For that, I brought these boys and broke you out of prison. That squares me, see? You want me to do your killing, you pay.
All right. Now listen. Lola has an iron box in her room. It holds about $5,000 in cash and twice as much in jewelry. Bring it back here and I'll give you half.
It's a deal.
And don't try to run out with the cash. Bring it back here, Carlson, because it's just a beginning. It'll pay the expenses for some really big jobs I have in mind.
Good. I'll bring it back. Now, what about Sergeant Preston? You swore to kill him. If I see him in town, do you want...
I want to deal with Preston myself. I want to beat him within an inch of his life before I kill him. But Carlson...
Yeah?
If you can think of a way to get him in this cave, unarmed and with his hands tied, I'll give you all of Lola's cash and jewels.
Yeah. I'll see what I can do about that.
With a pack that held woman's clothing, Babyface Carlson left the cave early in the morning and traveled south toward Kingston. Meanwhile, Sergeant Preston headed east to reach the same community.
Hulking! Hi, Husky! Hello!
It was late afternoon when the Mountie halted his team behind the cafe. He left King in charge of the dogs and hurried through the back door. There were only a few people in the cafe at that hour. Preston quickly spotted Lola in a corner talking to the pianist across the floor.
Thank goodness I'm in time.
Well, look who's here. Mozart, you know Sergeant Preston, don't you?
Yeah, howdy.
Hello, Mozart. Lola... I must speak to you alone. Do you mind, Mozart?
Breeze, honey.
Yeah, sure. I'll see you later.
Thanks.
Anything wrong, Sergeant?
Lola, have you heard from Spike Wilson?
No, and I hope I never do. That skunk played me for a sap.
Yes, I know he did.
He made me believe his pals had captured my sister on her way from the States. And as the price for her safety, I had to help him in some of his shady deals.
What's all in the past, Lola? You squared yourself with the law.
Yeah. I'm glad I was able to help jail that crook.
Lola, he's broken out of jail.
Spike Wilson, he's out? Sergeant!
He may come here.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll come here, all right. He'll come to kill me.
That's why I wanted to talk to you. I'll fix it with your employer. If Wilson comes here, I'll be waiting in your room for him.
Oh?
And meanwhile, you'll be in hiding.
Where?
You can stay with the constable's wife. How quickly can you pack your bag?
Oh, it'll only take a few minutes. Oh, but, Sergeant, I hate to run from that rat, Spike Wilson. Don't you think it'd be all right for me to go on with my act as long as you're here to watch?
Lola, I'd rather have you out of this cafe. No telling what might happen here.
All right, Sergeant. Anything you say is all right with me.
I'll explain everything to your boss and then wait for you at the foot of the stairs.
The front stairs or back?
The back stairs, I think.
All right.
And we'll slip out the back door so no one will notice you leaving.
The cafe owner was glad to cooperate with Sergeant Preston. The Mountie gave a few instructions, then went to the foot of the back stairs to wait for Lola. He was right beside the rear door, and he could hear King barking.
King knows I'm here. Steady, boy. What's the trouble, King? No, fella, you can't come in. Stay there with the dogs. I'll be with you in a few minutes.
The uncanny ability of dogs to sense the nearness of danger was possessed by King to an exceedingly high degree. The dogs of the team, still hitched to the sled, lay on the snow and watched their leader. They couldn't understand why King whined and whimpered at the closed door, trying to tell Sergeant Preston to be on guard. Suddenly, King became silent. He was tense in every muscle, his nose pressed close to the edge of the door. Beyond that door, close to his master, was a scent he recognized. But Sergeant Preston saw nothing familiar in the skirted individual who said,
I'll not take a moment of Miss Lola's time, sir.
Well, she'll be down in just a moment, Mrs.
Mrs. Hawks is my name.
Mrs. Hawks. Can't you wait here to speak to her?
The matter I wish to discuss is very private and personal. Intimate, I might say. If I might go to her room for only a moment.
Very well.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Then King went wild. The trace of a scent that came through the door reminded the dog of the end of a summer trail. It was the scent of an outlaw who had been tracked down, then lost because of a landslide. King knew what Preston had no way of knowing. The figure in woman's clothing who ascended the stairs was Babyface Carlson. We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. I suppose you fellas and girls have been getting Valentines all day.
Yep, I've been pretty busy.
Great Scott. Where did you come from?
Well, I've been around most of February.
Gosh, you haven't got anything on. That is, hardly. I mean, except for that bow and quiver of arrows.
And boy, I made some neat hits today.
What? Why, you must be the Valentine Cupid.
Right you are. And when somebody wants to send a love message, I get out my bow and arrow and...
Well, say, Master Cupid, here's a love message to send.
Okay, I'm all set.
It's a message to every fella and girl listening in that they'll love, really love, swell-tasting Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice.
Ah, this sounds like a good one.
It is. Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice are the ones shot from guns, you know, to make them crisp and tender.
Love it. First bite.
Yes, these king-size premium grains are actually exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them bigger and better tasting.
They really hit the spot, huh?
And what's important, too, Master Cupid, both delicious Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice furnish added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
Gee, you can't miss when you eat the ones shot from guns.
So, take a tip, fellas and girls. You'll love delicious Quaker puffed wheat And Quaker Puffed Rice. Shot from gun. Now to continue. Sergeant Preston couldn't account for King's sudden frenzy of excitement. He glanced up the long flight of stairs. He heard the woman he knew as Mrs. Hawks rapping on the door of Lola's room. Then he turned back to the door.
What's the matter with King? King, stop that noise. King!
The dog leaped past the Mountie and streaked up the stairs.
King, come back here!
The dog paid no attention. Preston ran up the stairs two at a time. He reached the top and saw King at the far end of the hall, charging the figure who stood at Lola's door. Carlson's hand came from beneath the woman's coat, holding a knife. King grabbed that arm in his teeth as the force of his attack sent Carlson sprawling to the floor.
Get away, you cur! Get back! Call out this dog!
King, what's wrong with...
Preston didn't finish. He knew what was wrong. Carlson, struggling on the floor, had lost his wig and the shawl that had covered his head. His coat had fallen open, revealing a man's clothing and a gun belt.
Carlson, baby-faced Carlson.
Call out this dog! Call him off!
Dunking, King, heel boy.
What's going on here?
I'll take that knife, Carlson, and the gun. Now stand up, and I'll see how handcuffs fit your wrists.
Hey, I've seen that face on handbills. That's baby-faced Carlson.
Yes, Lola. Babyface, you helped Wilson escape from prison. Where is he?
I'm not talking, see?
Did Wilson send you here to murder Lola?
Is that what he did? Why, that dirty yellow skunk.
He fooled me, Lola. If it hadn't been for King.
Hey, the boss wants to know what's all the excitement up there.
It's all right, Mozart. Everything's under control.
Mozart, will you find the constable and ask him to come here and take charge of a prisoner?
Sure thing.
Tell him it's Babyface Carlson.
Carlson proved to be surprisingly stubborn. Sergeant Preston questioned him fruitlessly until the constable arrived. In jail, both the sergeant and the constable continued the questioning. Midnight found the prisoner still muttering,
I'm not talking. I'm not talking.
Miles north of Kingston, in the cave, Spike Wilson found it impossible to sleep. It was midnight when he threw aside his blankets and shook loose and left
him awake. Listen to me, both of you. I've been thinking things over. Maybe I made a mistake in sending Carlson to town alone.
Fine time to think about that.
It's too late to do anything about it now. Why do you think you made a mistake?
He'll have his hands on a lot of cash and jewelry. Maybe he'll hightail with it instead of coming back.
Well, there's nothing we can do about it. Let's get back to sleep.
Oh, yes, there is, Lefty. You and Moose are going to do it.
Right.
You're going to Kingston to check on Carlson.
Oh, no,
wait a minute.
No argument. Pack your gear. If you meet Carlson, come back with him. If you don't meet him, look for him.
What if he's left town in the direction of the border?
And go to the law and hand over a note I'll write. If he double-crossed me, I'll see that he's caught for it before he hits the border.
It was nearly daybreak when Sergeant Preston made his way through the slow-falling snow to the home of the constable. He opened the door and closed it softly. By the light of an oil lamp turned low, he saw Lola asleep in a chair. King lay on the floor at her side. The Mountie signaled the dog to remain quiet, then touched the girl lightly on the shoulder. Lola?
Run over that chorus, Mozart.
Lola?
Huh? Oh, Sergeant Preston.
Keep your voice down. I don't want to awaken the constable's wife.
Oh, she's in the bedroom. I was waiting to hear from you. Just come from the jail?
Yes.
Carlson talk?
No.
Where's the constable?
He'll stay on guard.
So Babyface won't talk.
No, Lola, but I think I'll find Spike Wilson without Carlson's help. To reach here when he did, Carlson must have come here directly from the prison after Wilson's escape.
So
I'm going to head due north in the hope that Wilson is waiting somewhere along the trail.
Mm-hmm. King should be able to follow Carlson's back trail.
I'm leaving King here with you. Now you stay in this house and keep King at your side.
If you say so. But before you go, bend down here.
Want to whisper something?
No, Preston.
Oh.
That's for luck.
Well, thanks, Lola. Thanks for your good wishes.
Be quiet, King. You're nothing to cry about. Preston is your man. You lucky dog.
Sergeant Preston headed north from town. Meanwhile, Moose and Lefty had been on the trail since shortly after midnight. Wading through a 6-inch depth of newly fallen snow, they made poor time, Noon found them with their journey only half completed. Sergeant Preston and his dog team, traveling about three times as fast, was also near the halfway point. Moose and Lefty saw him coming.
Lefty, it's a Monty driving that team.
Oh, take it easy, Moose. The law's got nothing on us.
Not unless Carlson was caught and arrested and squealed.
He might have been caught, but he'd never squealed.
Just the same, I'm going to keep my hand near my gun.
Let me do the talking. Maybe we can learn something about Carlson.
Hello.
Hi.
Going to Kingston?
Yeah, is that where you came from?
Yes. You'll find the trail heavy.
Maybe you know a friend of mine in Kingston. A girl by the name of Lola.
Lola? Yes, I know her.
You do, huh? How is she?
She was very well when I left town a few hours ago.
She was?
Yes. Why do you look surprised?
Oh,
you see, officer, we heard that a crook had gone to Kingston to rob Lola.
He tried to, but now he's in jail. His name's Carlson. He and two other men helped in the jailbreak. Where'd you two come from?
Get him up, buddy.
What?
Up. Take his gun, Lefty. He's wise to his...
Moose, you fool.
He's wise, I tell you. Take his gun.
All right.
I only suspected you were Wilson's pals, but now I'm sure of it.
Yeah. But keep your hands high. Get his handcuffs, Lefty.
Yeah, here they are. Give me your hands, Marty.
He's got to drive this team so fast with his hands in front.
Well, that'll hold him. Now keep him covered, Moose. While I find the key to those bracelets. Make sure he's not packing a second gun.
No use of us going on to Kingston. We'll report back to Wilson and take this red coat with us.
Here's a key to the handcuffs. Likewise, a card. Hey, Moose. This identifies Amani. Spike Wilson will sure be pleased when we get back. This is a man he swore to beat within an inch of his life.
You mean...
Yeah. Sergeant Preston.
Though Sergeant Preston ran behind the sled with his wrists held together by handcuffs, he managed to drive. He was not fastened to the sled, but he knew that there was no hope of escape by sudden flight, because Moose and Lefty, riding in the sled, watched every move. They would shoot before he could travel 5 yards. Late afternoon found the men still far from the cave. Moose called an order to halt.
Hold it, buddy.
Hi, Husky. Hold on, hold.
All right, get up, Lefty, and stretch your legs.
Why are we stopping?
Because I'm just about starved. You keep an eye on that Marty while I build a fire and fix us some hot grub.
Now you're talking.
Preston watched with interest as the tenderfoot went about the business of building a fire. He saw Moose scrape away the snow beneath the spreading branches of a huge evergreen and gather broken twigs into a pile. He was about to warn Moose.
That's a bad...
That he stopped abruptly. He saw a faint hope that the inexperience of his captors might be turned to good advantage.
What were you going to say, Muddy?
Well, I was about to tell you how to build a fire, but you probably want none of my advice.
That's right, Preston. I want none of your advice. I'll have a whooping fire in no time.
The fire was started. As Moose brushed away more snow and found more wood, he added it to the flames.
You get a good fire. Let it burn down to coals. Then we start the cooking.
Preston watched the flames leap higher and higher, reaching toward the branches overhead with their heavy weight of new snow.
That fire sure feels good, Moose.
Yep. That wood's plenty dead. It'll burn down fast.
Unobtrusively, the Mountie prepared for his desperate gamble for freedom. He moved so he stood near Lefty, with Moose in a line behind Lefty. He watched the fire and the branches above. He knew what every experienced woodman in snow country knows, that in a moment the melted snow would loosen from the branch and fall on the fire. It happened.
Hey, look!
For an instant, both outlaws were diverted. Preston leaped.
Oh, hey, watch yourself!
He charged Lefty. Lefty fell against Moose. Both went down off balance. Preston didn't hesitate. He drove a boot into Lefty's stomach, then raised both hands clenched above his head and brought them down with sledgehammer force on the top of Moose's head.
That's a stutter.
When Preston's hands came up, they held Moose's gun.
Now I'll take charge.
Not while I...
Hold it or I'll break your arm. You too, Moose.
Hey, don't shoot. Don't shoot, Preston.
Raise your hands and do as you're told.
What are you going to do with us?
First, I'll get out of these handcuffs, and then you're to help me capture Wilson. After that, we'll see.
Spike Wilson marked time as the hours dragged slowly. Beyond the mouth of his cave, the snow had stopped falling, and the moon lighted the vast expanse of white. After hours of waiting, he heard a dog team approaching. And then a familiar voice called...
That's Preston's voice.
Hey, Spike! Come on, see the surprise we brought you.
Wilson gripped his gun and advanced cautiously.
It's the money you wanted. He used his own handcuffs on him.
Boys, I can't believe it. But I'm glad you did it.
The outlaw saw his friend seated on the sled and Preston behind it with his hands close together. Then the Mountie moved fast.
Drop the gun.
What the...
Drop it.
No!
No!
That's just the way you threw my arm. You should know better than to open fire when Preston holds a gun.
Are you double-crossing?
You'll find it's your pals who wear the handcuffs, Wilson. For you, I have some rawhide to tie your wrists.
You sold me out, you double-crossing skunks!
You, Wilson, are wanted for the murder of a guard. For that, you'll hang. These men may have got nothing worse than life in prison. Now turn around and put your hands behind your back. Lola will be glad to know this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Listen, folks, did you hear tell?
The cereal that sure rings the bell
is Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat.
They ring the bell for flavor. You enjoy the toasty, nut-like flavor of the good natural grain. The sun-ripened flavor that Old Mother Nature puts into it.
This grain is never factory sweetened because some like their cereal not so sweet and others ever so sweet.
And every member of the family can sweeten Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice to suit their own special taste.
They ring the bell for crispness, for they're the ones shot from guns.
Actually exploded up to 8 times normal size, so they're puffed to perfection.
And with the sealed inner lining in the big red and blue packages, they're kept as crisp as can be.
They ring the bell for nourishment, for the extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin and iron.
So every morning, let the whole family pour out big bowlfuls of delicious Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat for a treat that can't be beat. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, we've had a telegram from the owner of the Jeffers Mine at Mine City. He says his gold is being stolen and hidden in the mine.
You want me to go to Mine City, sir?
Yes, right away. Investigate thoroughly, and if possible, bring in the crooks.
I'll start for Mine City today, Inspector.
What Sergeant Preston thought would be a routine investigation turned out to be a matter in which his life and that of others are at stake. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, and directed by Fred Flowerday. Today's adventure was written by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereals shot from guns. Only Quaker Pak-O-Ten has wheat and rice shot from guns. That's Quaker Pak-O-Ten, a regular cereal pantry. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. At breakfast, you can take your pick of the pack. Have your own separate individual package. Enjoy a different cereal, extra fresh, every morning. Just remember, only Quaker Pak-O-Ten has all your family's cereal favorites. Try Quaker Pak-O-Ten. You'll be glad you did. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, Delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.